to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture this morning, verse 1. And, I was reading this passage, and I thought to myself, how many times, you may have never had it happen, I don't know, but I'm sure you have. If you haven't actually had it happen, I'm promising you the people's thought it about you. But it's amazing how many times someone would hear what we believe. They'll hear that with an ear that's not attuned to what we're hearing. And would ask themselves this, what do you believe? What do you believe? What's the basis of your hope? What's the bottom line? Where does the rubber meet the road on this? Where does the paddle meet the water? I mean, just sum it up. Tell me what you believe. And it's amazing to me how the entire life of a believer, spiritual life of a believer, the total explanation of his hope, that which he would desire to set forth in words to one that would ask him, what is your hope? One of these days, we're going to stand before God. This is going to be soon. I'm relatively speaking. One day, very, very shortly, we're going to stand before God. And in that day, what is your hope? What is your hope? You're thinking, well, I've sat under the gospel. Some of us here have been listening to the gospel 20, 30, 40, 50 years plus. Sum it up. Sum it up. Tell me right now. Tell me what your hope is right now. This verse of Scripture, I believe, sums up everything that a believer believes. Let's read it. Psalm 27. Here it is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now I don't know. Scripture doesn't bear it out. What the circumstances were. What the time frame was when David penned that verse of Scripture. I know that the Lord takes circumstances, takes our life. He orders all of our steps. I know this. I know that the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, predestinated. God bears that out. God's people are walking exactly the way that the Lord has eternally ordained that they walk. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by... And every situation, every step, every event, every circumstance, whatever it is, Almighty God has ordered it, ordained it. And all things work together for good. I do know that there's some things that we go through that are grievous. And they're grievous. There's some things, I know some of you right here that's going through some tough times here. Lately, the past, happened again. But every one of them, no matter what it is, no matter what circumstances is, I'm telling you that Almighty God ordained that, purposed it. Show you yourself. Show you Him. Cause you to see your need, His sufficiency. Everything that David was going through, everything we go through, Spirit of God blesses that. David, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, came to a conclusion here. I'm sure that it was a time in David's life when he realized the darkness of his knowledge of what God was doing. He was in a dire strait. Providence was ordering his lot, and he saw around. I don't know. Was it when, or did he reflect back upon when he dealt with Goliath? I don't know. How about when Saul was chasing him? I don't know. But I can tell you this, whatever it was, Spirit of God blessed that situation to cause David to pen these words, cause him to see his need. Now there's, in this verse, there's three things that David and every believer reveals concerning the Lord and His personableness. This is what David concluded. This is what every believer. What's your hope? Here's my hope right here. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. And the Lord is my strength. Three things that I was not born with a knowledge of. Know that. Came forth from my mother's womb in darkness, unbelief. And then he concluded from those blessed truths of who the Lord was to him, his unwavering security. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? And all three of those descriptions of who the Lord was to David. David found all of his hope. This is it. This is all of it. I want you to notice now that Brother Neil just adequately brought out. Didn't say anything about what David had done. Didn't mention about an aisle that he walked down. Didn't talk about a profession that he made. He just, you know. Let me tell you something. Belief is the effect of what God Almighty has already done in a believer. God Almighty, in sovereign grace, does something for a sinner that sinner wasn't even considering. Wasn't even thinking about it. Almighty God comes in power, grace, and mercy, and compassion, and gives a man a new heart. Gives him light. Gives him faith. And that man is made willing to bow, and he wants to. Not a robot. He's doing now what he wants to do. He's a human being with a new life, new love. New eyes, new ears. I never heard that before, but I love that message. Now he says, the Lord is my light, my salvation, my strength. Now I know this. I I read over this again this morning, and going over these notes, I jotted this down. I said this, you know, one could remove the word my from that verse, and that verse would still be true. But I wouldn't have any hope in it. Let me ask you this. Is the Lord light? Is the Lord salvation? Is the Lord strength? Yeah, but here's the question. Is He my light? My salvation? My strength? Now here's David. Here's what he said. The Lord is my light. Oh, the miracle of God's grace and mercy that a man would be able to say that. Now listen to me. Mark where you are right there in Psalm, and I want you to turn over to John 1:9. I want you to see this. I want you to see that. Look at the Scriptures. I know a lot of times I said, I'll just read this to you. I want you to look at this one. Now listen to me. Listen very carefully. Before a sinner is converted, he has light. He has light. But it's not the light of the knowledge of Christ, of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. You see, when God comes to a man or woman in saving grace, He finds that sinner in darkness. I want you to look at John 1:9. He was talking about, let's read verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Now listen and look at verse 9. That is Christ, was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Man is born with a conscience. There's some light there. He's born. He knows right from wrong. Now you look at every false religion. I don't care the extent of it. It could be the most eloquent, and it could be the most beautiful and building and the most well-dressed people, and it can be the most low forms of man life that you'll find in the jungles, but there is conscience in every person that knows right from wrong. They know that there is an offended God. I've told you about that, being down in Mexico, going over there and look at those temples, and they sacrifice either warriors, maidens, they'd sacrifice. Their God was offended. Blood was the issue. The heart, they'd cut the heart out. It's always they cut the heart out. You know, they know that there needs to be appeasement. They know it. How do they know it? There's some light there. It's the light of morality. They know right from wrong. They know. Almighty God has given them a conscience. But if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Man has some light. We've got the light of nature. I mean, it's amazing to me. I watch these shows on History Channel and stuff like this, and I mean, how do they figure all that stuff out? You know, Orion, and they got these temples, and they're all lined up, and they know there's a light of nature. There's something out there. You know, the sun, the moon, you know, worshiping. There's a knowledge that there is a higher being. They've got the light of some degree of civil things and religion, but he knows that there's a God. Demons knows they're a god. But light, the light of the glory of God, the light of God's sovereignty, the light of God's will and God's purpose, the light that Almighty God does as He will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, the light that God has provided the Lamb, the light that God saves, the light that God Almighty keeps and orders and purposes, that light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, man doesn't have that. He's incapable of picking himself up by his own bootstraps. That must be given from above. He must be born again. Light that reveals God's truth. How would I know? Man, every man is born with that lie that you talked about. But let me ask you this. How does a sinner, how does a woman know that God is sovereign in creation and providence and salvation? How does he know that? Christ has revealed it. Christ hath revealed it. No man has seen God at any time. Not the true God. God of a man's imagination. Yeah. But the Son has revealed God Almighty, the Father, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Light, true light. He's the righteous, just, exact in all things, no compromise God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. David said concerning the light that I was born with, darkness. But here's my hope right here. He is my light. He is the light of the knowledge of who God is. The light that gives God all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. He's the light by which I see. He's the light by which I understand. Any perception of the truth of God, listen to what a man says. And I'm telling you, at the point that he enters himself, if he's any other than the dust of this earth, the maggot of this earth, if he's anything other than the fleeting grass that's cut down, if he's anything other than the incapable sinner before God, if he's anything other than that, if he's done anything else in his estimation, that's not the light of God. The Lord is my light. He's my illumination. Here's the second thing. David said, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. I tell you, before a sinner is converted, he sees himself as his own salvation. Now you know that's so. Oh, he'll probably give some token credit to the God, the little g God of his imagination. Like you said, Neil, that salvation was offered to him. Offered. God has done all that he can do. That's what they say. Well, let me ask you this. Like Brother Scott told that fellow, that little, Scott said, little whippersnapper asked me, he said, do you know the Lord? Scott said, well, if I don't, what are you going to do about it? The Lord done all he can do. Oh, now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to A, B, C, D. Well, I tell you this, all of your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I made a decision. A decision to what? Allow God to be God? The Lord is my salvation. When I say that, when I read that, here's what it is. Salvation is all of grace, and I don't have any part in it. What part does a sinner have in salvation? None. None. He is the recipient of the grace of God. God gave him life. God Almighty is his life. Salvation accomplished by him. Here's my salvation. Before the foundation of the world, Almighty God chose to show mercy to me. Almighty God knew me before he ever formed me in the belly. He knew me and loved me. Why? Because he chose to. Gave me to Christ, my surety, and he's always kept me. Always answered for me. Always stood for me. Almighty God purposed to show mercy. Chose me, redeemed me, regenerate me, keeps me. Salvation. Why did he choose one over another? He chose to. What is he going to say? I've said before, man hears that, argues against it, says, I just doesn't seem fair. Boy, I tell you what, at that point, you say, well, I tell you what then fair would be. And Adam all die. And Adam all die. Now this is the word of God. The potter has the right. Romans 9. I may have told you this. I had somebody that just grilling me here the last few days. He said, I brought up Romans 9. I said, read Romans 9. Go back and read it. Read Romans 9. And I said, tell me what that says. He wrote back and he said, well, you've got to take Romans 9 and balance it with the rest of the Scriptures. I wrote him back and I said, God's not out of balance. There's not a Scripture in God's Word that won't stand on itself. Almighty God has the right and has chosen to not allow the order of man to perish. God Almighty loves the order of man. That's what John 3:16 is saying. God loved the arrangement. God loved the world. He loved the world. And man was not going to perish. Why did Almighty God put Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives and those animals? Why did God put them in an ark? He loved the arrangement. He loved the order of man. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah. And I'm telling you, everybody that was in that ark with him, here's Noah, a picture of Christ. It was for Noah's sake that they were there. Oh, for his sake. Picture of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty put him in. Noah did not do anything. God Almighty, in his eyes, Noah found grace. That was it. What did Noah do? The Lord looked, and every thought of the imagination of man was evil. Only evil. Only unrighteous. Continually. Noah included. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I need salvation. I need to be rescued from the plague of my sin. I need deliverance from the curse of the law. I'm guilty in myself. I have no ability to make myself pure before God. When men talk about their ability and their will and their decision, let me ask you this. Was it done, concerning what you did, was it done in absolute holiness and purity? Have you ever deviated? Because whatever you're standing on, better answer and stand up to the scrutinizing eye of God's law. The soul that sinneth is going to die. My friend, Almighty God must be my salvation. It must be. Thirdly, the Lord is the strength of my life. He's the power of my life. Now, you know, I got to reading that again. The Lord is the strength of my life. And this is the verse of Scripture that came to my mind. And I thought, this is the simplest way for a believer to set forth that the Lord is his strength. I love this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "For when I'm weak, then am I strong." What's the simplest way to set forth that the Lord is my strength, is the strength of my life, is the durability of my life, is the foundation of my life, is the hope of my life? What is the strength? And do I say that I have life? What's the strength of it? What's the power of it? What's the endurance of it? What is it? The Lord is the strength of my life, because I don't have any. All power in heaven and earth, the Scripture says, belongs to Him. The Scripture says that the Father has given Him power over all flesh, and He should give eternal life. To who? To as many as Thou hast given Him. All power is His. I don't have any. And I know it. I know it. Where else is strength found? If all power is given unto the Son, where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to look? He's the source, the sustainer, the eternal perseverance of His people. So here's the enlightened question. Whom shall I fear? If the Lord is my light, if God Almighty has shined in my heart to give the knowledge of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the character, in the name, in the person of Christ. If God Almighty, the Lord, Jehovah, if Jehovah, Father, Son, Spirit, is my life, if Jehovah is my salvation, if Jehovah is the strength of my life, if God be for me, who can be against me? If Almighty God is the illuminator, if Almighty God is salvation alone, if Almighty God is strength, and there's none other, who am I afraid of? Myself? Satan? I'm afraid of darkness and unbelief? God's my light. Damnation and hell? The Lord is my salvation. My feeble frame that's not to be trusted, the Lord is my strength. Well, then don't you think you need to keep yourself? How can I? How can I? The Lord has promised to keep me. Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord has promised. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. No one has the power to snatch me from His hand. That's what He said. When I look within, all is dark and wild. Unbelief. I don't have any hope within. Save for Christ, who is my life. But in myself, what do I have? What do I have? Oh, wretched man, Paul said, wretched man that I am. There is in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. Is this your hope? Is this your life? Is He your strength? Then, my friend, you've got a good hope, for Christ's sake.